96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Getting your child into college is a long-time dream for a lot of families, but year after year, it's becoming more and more difficult for families to afford it. Public or private colleges, two-year or four, the high cost of higher education can seem out of reach. Well, tonight, we're offering ideas about how you can find a way to pay for some or even all of a college education. My guests are Jessica Brown, founder of collegegirl.com. That's girl as in G-U-R-L. Girl, let me tell you, is that what it's supposed to be?
That's right, like homegirl.
Yeah, homegirl. There you go. Collegegirl.com and author of the book, How to Pay for College When You're Broke. And Cynthia Hammond Davis, she's a college advisor and author of If I Knew Then What I Know Now, College and Financial Aid Planning from a Parent's Perspective. Yes, we are answering your questions tonight, as always, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR. Follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR or at HFisherWHUR. Jessica, Cynthia, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Cynthia, why is it so difficult to pay for college these days? What kinds of expenses outside of tuition are there that parents and students don't know about?
Right. So outside of college tuition and the room and board is the actual applications, the cost of the fees. There are so many different costs with SAT prep, SAT test, ACT test, and then the money that it takes to get them to the actual college. So there's fees all over the place, and the ones that we call those hidden fees that no one talks about until senior year when it's time for the parents to start paying. And then there's also fees at the high school. So there may be transcript fees at the high school that students have to pay as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you get to college, let us say for the sake of argument that you have been accepted to Howard University or Morehouse or Morris Brown or the University of Maryland or wherever you decide that you're going to go, there are fees that you still have to pay, other expenses, Jessica, that people just don't think about.
Correct. So, you know, in that particular case, I mean, when you're picking a college, you definitely want to make sure that you add in the factor of location, right? Because if you're living in California and you're going to school in Washington, D.C., that is a big factor because you're going to have to pay for travel. You have to pay to and from, and let's say an emergency situation happens and you have to get home. Now, the plane ticket is $1,000, $1,500, depending on where your final destination is. So you definitely want to make sure that you incorporate the location into your expenses, especially for me going to Howard and being in D.C. D.C. is an expensive city in itself. You know, if you want to go out with friends, you want to get, you know, have a great time, you want to go to events, you want to go to dinner, you're going to have to make sure that you have those that money to be able to accommodate that and to make sure you have a great college lifestyle.
As a parent, none of that is allowed. Just stay in the dorm and study. That's all you're allowed to do.
Right.
But there are other fees that the colleges also charge outside of tuition, room, and board.
Right. So you have your matriculation fees, you have your books, you know, you additionally, you know, you have your meal plan. You know, a meal plan can cost you $4,000 and up just for the year. And you may not eat in the cafeteria every day. But at the end of the day, that is a mandatory expense if you are living on campus. So you definitely want to make sure that before you're going to these schools, you're not just reviewing the overall costs. You're sitting back and breaking down every charge. You're breaking down the tuition. You're breaking down the fees. You're breaking down the room and board and how much it's going to cost and that, you know, the city that you're going to make sure that this option is financially feasible for you and your family, because you can get a quality education anywhere. It's just the matter of making the best out of the education wherever you go.
That's exactly right.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about paying for college. where is the money? And that is my next question. Where is the money? Help me with that, Cynthia.
So,
where should someone first begin to look?
Right. So there's a lot of scholarship money. There's a lot of grants and there's a lot of loans. $150 billion is available in the federal government while students are looking for money and parents are looking for money to pay. They can definitely, if they're seniors this year, fill out that FAFSA form, the free application for federal student aid, that brings in a whole lot of money at the colleges for specific students. And of course, there's going to be some qualifications for that money as well.
What kind of qualifications are we talking about?
So there may be qualifications as far as, you know, being a U.S. citizen or being a permanent resident. So those are qualifications. Some other qualifications may be depending on your parents' income, how much they make, their assets and things like that. Depends on how much you may be able to get at specific colleges as well. There's also, along with the FAFSA, there's one that we very seldom talk about, but it's also very available for private schools. That's the CSS profile.
Now, what is that?
The CSS profile is available at the College Board. A lot of our private schools will use the CSS profile. It's a more intense look at the parents' income. So it goes back several years, where the FAFSA may right now go back to 2015. The CSS profile might ask you for a little bit, maybe in the 2015, 16, and even project for the next year. So that gets more into the finances. For example, if the FAFSA is asking for the parent that to fill out the form that the student lives 51% of the time, but the CSS profile wants to know about that non-custodial parent. Even though you're divorced, they want to still know about that non-custodial parent. So there is a non-custodial parent form, and there's some information that you have to fill out as well. So it does get more intense.
Let's talk, Jessica, about scholarships, because obviously, you know, the FAFSA is a huge issue, and everyone needs to fill that out. And that puts a lot of names in the pot. But for scholarships, you know, we've heard stories about people who have been able to win tens of thousands of dollars in scholarships, and yet they're just, for a lot of people, they're just stories that they hear. Where's that money coming from? What do you suggest people do?
Well, I mean, last year, $100 million in scholarship money went unclaimed, meaning that there is so much money out here from corporations, from donors, from foundations, from different institutions that many students are not tapping into. With that being said, many students need to stop scrolling and start doing, because all these scholarships is all in the research. You know, Bill Gates pays for students to go to school. Everything, tuition, fees, laptop, books. You know, these opportunities are out there, but many students are not really researching. Or for the parents that are working and working for corporations, many of these corporations have HR benefits to provide their child $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a semester that will help contribute to their education. And just because you make too much money, that doesn't mean that you won't qualify for any scholarships. There are scholarships for being disabled. You can contact RSA, Rehabilitation Services Administrations. There are scholarships for being left-handed. There are scholarships for being a single parent. And these scholarships are at our fingertips. All we have to do is go on Google and research money in regards to the characteristics that adhere to us. And we will be able to filter and find these opportunities to be able to save, plan, and pay for college.
Hold on for a minute. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking tonight about paying for college. Where is the money, and how can you be connected to it for your child, or indeed even for yourself if you are trying to go back to school? Let me go to the phone lines. Renee, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Renee, are you there?
Calling because my daughter attended college for this past semester, and she did really well. She got all A's in all her classes. She had a full schedule. But it was a really financial struggle for me to get her through this semester. Now we're coming up on a new semester starting the end of January, and I'm almost afraid to say that I really do not have the funds to get her through the second semester so she can complete a whole year. And I'm just calling to find out if there's any referrals or recommendations that you may have.
Thank you for calling. My recommendation would be if she did very well this year, I would definitely recommend that she visit the financial aid office to see if there's any new money available. I mean, you have many kids that lost their scholarships in the fall semester or are no longer returning for the spring semester, which means that there may be an opportunity to get more money. The financial aid process is all a regifting process, as all funds have to be exhausted within a certain time frame. Therefore, that would be my first course of action. Additionally, making sure that she continues to research some scholarships. She might be able to find some last-minute scholarships that may be able to help her at this time. Additionally, it will also put her in a position to find more scholarships for next year to ensure that she can continue her education.
True. And I do believe also if she is interested in a job at the school, sometimes students can be a resident assistant. So that could help in some of the funding as well. If she is interested in that, she could, you know, kind of hang out with the resident assistant now who is actually at her dorm, and then work with that person to see if she can become a resident assistant, because then the student may be able to receive free room and board or a discount in room and board, which would help. But like Jessica said, I believe that staying in the face of the financial aid office, you know, going in there every now and then saying, hi, remember me? I'm looking at for scholarships and such, because money comes into the college and they'll remember you maybe if you go into the financial aid office a lot.
There you go. Renee, thank you so much. Before I go to the next call, is there a one-stop shopping or two-stop shopping where this information can be found? For example, I know both of you have published, you know, informational books about that, and I want to put that information out as well. But where does someone go? Because the thing that I've found is that a lot of people, when you start Googling scholarships, you get sent down this commercial rabbit hole, because there are a lot of websites out there that will pull you in and they want you to sign up, but and you see more ads than scholarships.
Right. So you definitely want to make sure that you are going to, like, Schooly. There's an app that a young man developed. Mm-hmm. Spelled S-C-H-O-L-L-Y. If you're able to put in all your characteristics, your GPA, your region, the school you want to go to, your major, it'll filter all these scholarships for you that pertain directly to you. That is one resource. Additionally, going to some of these government websites, official.edu websites, the actual institution's website, seeing if the institution's awards federal work study or what additional opportunities they have for you to receive aid are definitely some steps that you can take.
I need to take a break, but before I do, I want to make sure that we get the websites for both of you ladies out there. And, of course, as always, we'll be posting that information on WHUR.com. But, Jessica, your website, please.
My website is www.collegegurl, that's spelled G-U-R-L.com.
And Cynthia, yours?
Is collegeandcareeradvice.com.
collegeandcareeradvice.com. Thank you so much. I need to take a break, but if you're on the line, that includes Karen in D.C., Fox calling from D.C., Mona calling from Philadelphia, and Vivian calling from Silver Spring. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we are continuing to take your phone calls even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.